Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read one verse. Verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. Let's pray. Father, I ask today that you would help us to understand what it means to be your prisoner, that we are your servants, that we belong to you, and what great liberty and what great freedom, what great advantage that gives to us if we surrender our life to you, and that you make us what you desire for us to be. Lord, we trust you today with our life, with our future. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you will, please. I'll tell you, coming up with holiday messages is really challenging, so I just decided not to this year. You know, on Mother's Day, it seems like mothers get praised, and on Father's Day, fathers get beat up. Mothers get praised for being great moms, and dads are told, you know, what lousy men and what lousy fathers. We break our promises, and we're just terrible human beings, and shape up. You know, but really, this message is for everybody. I will tell you, if you follow this message today, it will make you a better father. It'll make you a better person, but it's going to make you a better mother. It's going to make you a better person. So this is for everybody. So if you want a Father's Day message, then just apply it to that this morning. But in Colorado, the days are very challenging. We take very strenuous hikes with the young people after our morning devotions. One of the hikes that we went on this year, that almost the entire trail was covered with snow. We'd never seen that before on this trail, but we decided to hike it anyway, and it was an epic adventure, to say the least. And then the whitewater rafting that we did this year, the water levels were at, you know, probably 25-year highs. So the paddling that we had to do was extremely, extremely strenuous. You had to work and you had to pay attention so you didn't get dumped into the Arkansas River and get hypothermia and maybe, you know, crack your head open on a rock somewhere. So it was very exhausting. And took some kids on some bike rides. We played soccer. We did it all. Wonderful times. But in the middle of that, I realized I don't have a message for Sunday. And every time I would open up into Ephesians 3, though I've read this hundreds and hundreds of times in my life, and I've preached from this before, just really nothing. But one morning as I sat down and I read this first verse, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. Bam, there it was. The prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now Paul uses this expression in a different way. He doesn't call himself prisoner, except I find in this one account. But over and over again, Paul would describe himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, a bondservant is a slave, one who gives himself to another's will, one who's devoted to another with disregard of his own interest, his own will, his own emotions or desires. In other words, he has chosen to indebt himself to this master. This is a free man who's decided, I'm going to attach myself. I'm going to sell my life, probably to pay off a debt, or, you know, to help out his family or whatever. This isn't somebody that was captured and was forced into servitude. This is a person who has willingly become a bondservant. So it's one who simply follows the master completely. So if you're a bondservant of Jesus Christ, you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ, then you love as Christ loved. You walk as Christ walked. And so when life happens, you are not letting up, you're not giving up, you're not putting up with anything less than true and full relationship with God through Christ by doing His will. Being a bondservant of Jesus Christ means I'm taking full responsibility for my own walk with the Lord. Now, let me just say it again. This idea of being a prisoner of Christ or being a bondservant of Christ means that I'm giving up my will to the will of Jesus, that I'm devoting myself with disregard to my own interest, to my own will, to my own emotions, to my own desires. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to go wherever He wants me to go. I'm going to do whatever He wants me to do. I'm going to say whatever He wants me to say. I'm going to be whatever He wants me to be. And I'm telling you, it is the most freedom that you will ever find in your life when you become a prisoner of Christ. Now, I looked this up. This was a title. This bondservant title was a title that was adopted by the church founders. In Titus 1:1, Paul says this, "Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness." James, in James 1:1, says, "James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings." Peter, in 2 Peter 1:1, says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." Jude, in Jude 1:1, says, "Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ." Are you getting this? All of these church founders, Paul, James, Peter, Jude, all of them identified themselves as bondservants of Jesus Christ. Perhaps we should identify ourselves the same way. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's see how this works. 1 Corinthians 9. I can tell some of you this morning, not everybody's in the same boat, but I can tell some of you this morning what's wrong, why your Christianity's not working. It's because you've never completely surrendered your life to Christ. You've tried to add God to your life. You sort of mixed a little bit of God into the rest of your life, but it doesn't really work that way. It doesn't work. I'm going to add a little Jesus to my life and see how that works. Like you're baking something. And I think I'll throw a little cinnamon in this and see if that works. That makes it taste better. No, following Jesus is a complete surrender of my life. It's being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. It's being a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And the reason it's not working for you is probably because you've never really totally, absolutely said, "I give up, I give in, my life is not my own, it belongs to Jesus." And when you do that, it'll make all the difference. 1 Corinthians 9, let's see this attitude more fully developed. Verse 19, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win..." And He goes on and gives this whole litany of all these things He does for the sake of other people. But you see the attitude here in verse 19. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." That is the idea. I'm free to do this. We're free to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus. I'm free to surrender or I'm free to do my own will. This is the idea. I don't have to do this. This is a choice that I'm making, is I've chosen to become a servant to Jesus, which means I've chosen to become a servant to other people, that other people are more important than me. And it is freedom when you ever find that place. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I love this passage. It's the first sermon I ever preached in front of other people. It's from this passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I was 14 years old. Hopefully I've learned a little bit since then. All right. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." How many think that'd be a good idea? Let this attitude, in other words, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? I mean, Jesus is God. He didn't have to, you know, pretend to be. He didn't have to, he's not a wannabe. He's not trying to be. He is God. Okay? He's equal to God. But, verse 7, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of what? A bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men. Now stop for just a minute. As a follower of Jesus Christ, what do people call us? Christian. What does that mean? It means Christ-like. It means like Christ. So in other words, if we're really going to be a Christian, this is fundamental. This is bedrock. This is as basic as it gets. If I'm going to be a Christian and if I'm going to be worthy of this title, then I need to have the attitude of Jesus. If I don't start with the attitude of Jesus, then there's not going to be no action of Jesus. Everything starts with attitude, right? You look at your kid and go, hey, what's with the attitude? Come on, everything starts with attitude. Your words and your actions started with an attitude. This is basic. Basic Christianity. If you're going to follow Jesus, it starts right here. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although He was God, He emptied himself of everything, all the privileges, all the, you know, the everything. And he humbled himself and became what? A bondservant. He enslaved himself to other people for their behalf. So if you're going to be a Christian, it starts with having this attitude that my life does not belong to me anymore. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And as such, then, I'm also then a servant then to other people. Are you seeing this? He humbled himself, verse 7, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, if Jesus was exalted because he humbled himself, if Jesus was exalted because he took on the form of a servant, then whatever it is you're trying to achieve with your life is going to be achieved in this same way. Whatever it is you've been trying to accomplish in your own strength and your own ability, and you keep falling short, you're on the wrong path. Here's the path. I'm going to make myself a servant to Jesus and a servant to other people. And God is going to be in the business of making sure I get then where I need to be. Are you following me? It's by humbling ourselves. Just following Jesus doesn't always make sense to our brain. But God's ways are, Isaiah 55, verse 1, God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Let God exalt you. Let God promote you. Let God put you where you need to be. And you'll get there by humbling yourself. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Should be about one or two turns of the page back to the left. Now when you look down these first 13 verses. Verse 2, indeed you've heard of the dispensation of grace that's been given to me. How that by revelation he's made known to me the mystery. Everybody say the mystery. By which, verse 4, when you read, you understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not known to the sons of men, but it has been revealed by the Holy Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me, by the effective working of His power. To me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now, did you notice the sort of the grandiosity of the words here? These powerful, powerful words in these 13 verses. He talks about grace. He says you're the heirs of God. He talks about the power of God. He talks about the riches of Christ. He talks about the manifold wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God, the various manifold, you know, multiple, more than one layer, more than one kind of wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. And then he talks about boldness, access, and confidence, all wrapped up in this thing called the mystery of God. And as I was thinking about this, and as the Holy Spirit was putting this message on my heart, literally I stopped at the word prisoner, and the whole message started unfolding from that one word as I was sitting down, having my morning devotional time before I led the students. And I wrote this: only when you take on a servant attitude towards Christ are the mysteries of the gospel unlocked and experienced. You know, because people come in and say, well, I read all this stuff and the Bible never makes any sense to me. You know, I tried this church thing and it just, you know, it's all mumbo jumbo. I mean, I tried to read the Bible and just nothing. How many of you have ever been there? Come on. Before you had a real relationship with God through Jesus Christ, before the Holy Spirit was really living in you full, you tried to read the Bible and it was just like, nothing. You might as well have been, you know, reading Plato or, you know, something else that didn't make sense to you either. You know, I took philosophy in college. I got an A, and I have no idea how I got an A in college. I didn't understand any of that stuff, but I would write for, you know, paragraphs of all this stuff. And I don't think the philosophy instructor understood philosophy either, because if my answers made sense to him, then he was very confused. And he gave me an A. But then you really surrendered your heart to Jesus. And you read those same pages, and all of a sudden, the riches of God began to be revealed to you. Come on, Roger, you remember when that began happening in your life? We won't talk about how many years ago that was. Come on. And all of a sudden, you opened up these pages, and the manifold wisdom of God began to be revealed to you. The mysteries of Christ, the power of God, began to be unlocked to you. When did that get unlocked to you? It's when you surrendered your life completely to Christ. When you became a prisoner of Christ, when you became a bondservant of Christ, you weren't playing around anymore, either at a moment of crisis or just a moment of revelation. You said, you know what, I am. I'm going to surrender my life to Christ. And when that happened, looking at somebody up in the balcony, and when that happened, and all of a sudden you began to read the New Testament, it all began to make sense to you. And you've been on this lifelong quest now to get other people to read the New Testament. The trouble is they try to read it, and it doesn't make any sense to them because they have not surrendered their will. They've not been willing to become the bondservant, the prisoner of Christ. But when you do so, these mysteries are no longer mysterious. They become revelation to you. And you now have this boldness and this access, this confidence with God. Only those who are completely surrendered to God's will experienced this kind of boldness and confidence towards God. A surrendered life gives you confidence to approach the throne of God. Come on, somebody. When you are not completely surrendered, you know that you have not given your life completely over to God. You do not have boldness. You do not have confidence to stand before God because you know, and you know that God knows that my life doesn't really completely belong to you. But when you have completely surrendered, you become the prisoner of Christ. You become the bondservant of Christ. That is the key. Come on. That unlocks all this boldness, all of this confidence towards God. And then Hebrews 4, look at it. Hebrews 4 becomes very real to you. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, no, but in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. He humbled himself, became a man, even to the point of death, so that we would have this, verse 16, this boldness, this access, this confidence towards God. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now, how many of you really, truly, absolutely could use some help from God? This access to the throne of God, to the God kind of help, to God kind of power, to God kind of wisdom. Come on, somebody. To this manifold wisdom, to the riches of God, to the grace of God, to the mercy of God, to the power of God. That access comes through this boldness, this confidence that we would have towards God. But the only way we can have this boldness and confidence towards God is that I completely have surrendered my life to Him. I'm a prisoner. I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, when you do that, something happens on the inside of you. Now you believe that when you ask, that you really will receive. That when you seek, you really will find. That when you knock, the door will be open to you. And if you've been lacking that in your life, you've been lacking that confidence, you've been lacking that boldness, something has caused you to grab a hold of sections of your life and say, you know what? I'm not giving this to you. Or that you've never really given your life completely to God to begin with. This all came to me sitting on the couch at the condo in Colorado trying to get a sermon, and the word prisoner jumped off the page. And I thought, that's it. So what's missing in people's life? I've not completely surrendered to His authority. I could not really call myself a prisoner of Christ. I can't really call myself a bondservant of Christ. I sort of play around with the things of God. You've got just enough. My pastor used to say it this way, Don Palmer. He said, Christians are inoculated with the gospel. They've got just enough not to catch it. They got a little injected to make sure they don't catch any of it. But to be a Christian means that I have the same attitude that Jesus had, and that is one of complete surrender, complete abandonment of my will to the will of another, the attitude of being a bondservant, that my life is not my own and now belongs to Him. And that's when the mysteries are revealed. That's when the power of God is unlocked. That's when the riches of Christ begin to flow in your life. That's when you approach the throne of God like you belong. But you're in the right position. You're in the position of surrender. Again, I like to read a lot of historical novels, and you read about, you know, ancient India, and you read about the Mughals and the Mongols and all of that. Man, if you came into the presence of the Khan, you came on your face. If you came in the presence of the king, you came on your face. On the one hand, we're the friends of God. Absolutely. But on the other hand, and I think it's a missing part of some of our lives, is that I'm the prisoner of Christ. I'm a bondservant of Christ. I completely empty myself and surrender my will to that of Christ. And it's the greatest freedom. It's the greatest liberty. It's the greatest strength. It's the greatest joy. It's the greatest peace. What you've been searching for will be found in that place. In the same way that God exalted Jesus, in the same way God will raise you up to where you're supposed to be. Look at this. We're going to close with this. Ephesians 3:20. Now, many of you know that Ken and Whitney, I don't have to say, are moving to Chillicothe anymore, because yesterday they moved to Chillicothe. It's just too bad I was driving across Kansas the whole time they were unloading that truck. But I remember, and this will be a little Father's Day moment. You know, Whitney had graduated college and she was working, and, you know, and it became time in her life to, start thinking about, I want to get married. She hadn't really met that person yet, the one that she wanted to marry or thought she should marry. And, you know, that becomes a concern, you know, in the heart of a father. You know, don't want her marrying some loser. Come on. You want your daughter marrying some loser? Me either. And just praying about it in this verse. This is the verse that came to me and I shared with her. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I said, Whitney, I believe that God is going to bring to you someone who's exceedingly abundantly, far over and above that you could even ask or think about. And don't settle for anything less than that. And then Ken came. I'm doing a little reverse butt kissing here today, all right? But I mean it. When you surrender your life to Christ, verse 20 belongs to you. That God is able to do exceedingly far over and above. I love the Amplified Version. Far over and above what you could even dream about or imagine, God is able to do. Far over and above what you could even dare ask or think. And that power is at work already in you if you're a follower of Jesus. I believe today it's time for us to think bigger and to ask bigger, because God's able to do far over and above what we could ever even dare ask or dream about. And that power's at work within you. But guys, I don't know that you have access to verse 20 until you've first gone through verse 1, where you say, I fill in your name, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And then all these riches, all this power, all this wisdom, all these mysteries are unlocked, and you could stand boldly and say that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far over and above all that I could even ever dare ask or think about. Some of you need some things solved in your life. Some of you need some wisdom to be revealed in your life. Some of you need some power of God to fix some things. And God's able to do that. But you need the boldness and you need the confidence to approach His throne. Say, Lord, this is what I need from You. Would you bow your head and close your eyes today? Look, if your life is not completely surrendered to the Lord, then just do so by an act of your will right now and say, Lord, I want You to be in control of my life. I surrender my heart to You. I surrender my will to You. I surrender my life to You. I am your prisoner. I am your bondservant. You be in charge of my life. You rule my life. You make me who you want me to be. You put me where you want me to go. You exalt me to where you want me to be. But I surrender myself to you. I am your servant, and I'm a servant to other people. Maybe you prayed a prayer like that for the very first time today. Can I tell you, there's no magic formula, there's no magic words that you say. Exact words to give your life to Christ, but that's what it is. I'm giving my life to you, and I want you to be the Lord, the ruler, the king of my life, the boss. There's a moment where every one of us that are Christ followers decided, today I give my life to Jesus. Perhaps today is that day for you. But there's lots of other people, many really, in the room, and maybe those watching. I've never really, totally, all right, right now, my life doesn't really, totally belong to God. But today I choose to be a bondservant of Jesus. So, Father, right now, for every yielded, surrendered person, I pray that you do for them what they've been asking, what they've been praying, what they've been believing, what they've been thinking about, that God, right now, that you would do for them far over and above. Even what they've been asking for, what they've been thinking about, what they've been dreaming about. Father, that you would do that for them now. That you would exalt them, that you would promote them, that you would open doors before them. That you would make the crooked place straight and the rough place smooth on their behalf now. Father, I ask that you do it. Lord, we approach your throne with boldness and ask that your grace be multiplied to us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ for the very first time today, would you come down and tell me so I can welcome you into the family of God and Maybe just talk to you for a few moments. Maybe pray with you for a moment or two. Sounds like Wednesday night we have a fun activity. Please don't think us carnal for wanting to get together as a church family and just have a good time. Because fellowship is one of the necessary ingredients to really being family. And if your only connection to church is that you sing songs with us and you listen to somebody preach at you, then you're probably not as connected as you ought to be. And so sometimes we just do some fun things together. And it's summer. And a lot of people are here, there, and everywhere. And so we're going to take advantage of summer. And so we're going to get together and just have a party together Wednesday night. But, you know, I understand not wanting to put your swimming suit on and reveal, you know, the part of the body you don't really want other people. I get that. I don't want anybody to see me in my swimsuit either. And some of you just don't, you know, just not into that. But we do have something for you here. And the best way to learn how to pray is to pray with people that know how to pray. And so if you want to come pray, there will be a group of people here, and they're not being more holy than the rest of us. They They're just dedicated to praying. They come and pray every Wednesday. And if you want to learn how to pray and you want to pray with them, they would welcome you into their prayer group. So come and pray with them, and your prayer life will be raised. And they pray about things beyond themselves. That's what I like. They pray for other people. They pray for me. They pray for the church. We'd love for you to come and be part of that. Next week, Ephesians 4. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Happy Father's Day. Fathers, grab a candy bar. Grab two, because some of them didn't take one, so you're welcome to theirs.